T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I am still trying to wrap my brain around this Shohei Ohtani story. I've read the details from the great ESPN reporter multiple times. Okay, there's clothing underneath the counter. Yeah. All right. I'm the only female who sits in this chair, and I don't know what it is about the other dudes who use this chair. They tend to lose things underneath the desk. Chargers, clothing, food, just all manner of items that are stuffed under there. And because, well, and I'm wearing boots tonight, but because I have big feet and I stretch my legs out, I always tend to kick their things that are left underneath the desk. So, all right, back on track.
Come on, man.
Right? And I don't really know what to do with them. I'm not the local lost and found. So instead, I just kind of move it with my foot, shove it into the open and hope that someone will claim it. Yes, that's what's happening. That, and I try not to get cooties. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And the reason that I say these things to you is because I would love to hear your reaction. You don't yet know the details. We'll provide them as best as we can figure them out because they are weird. Weird, and also they don't really add up for a bunch of reasons. Though, can I tell you, while I have no insider information, so do not take this as, hey, I know what happened and you don't. That's not what I'm telling you. I can see one very clear picture of what would make this believable, actually. So I'm still reading as much as I possibly can find about this story and about Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. His name is Ipe Mitsuhara. And if you've seen Ohtani do anything in the past 6 years, you've seen Ipe Mitsuhara. The two of them have been inseparable. That includes yesterday morning. That includes during the Dodgers season opener. That includes after the game in the dugout. The reports coming from our friend Michael Duarte of NBC LA. Mitsuhara, who we did see on the broadcast as the Dodgers and Padres opened up their season in South Korea, Mitsuhara apparently addressed the Dodgers after their game against the Padres. And if you didn't see the game, or we listened to it, Jay and I, on our way home from work, it was really cool. but this kind of put a damper on things. But anyway, we listened to the game, watched the game. The Dodgers rallied in the eighth inning. Shohei Ohtani had his first ever RBI for the Dodgers. There are videos out there of his first hit, and it was incredible, the atmosphere in Gochuk Sky Dome in Seoul. So all this excitement over the first ever baseball regular season game in South Korea for Ha Sung Kim, who's a native, and the Japanese players, what a scene. 17,000 strong, making noise like nobody's business. There were dancers, there were cheerleaders, there was a K-pop band. They've got a Mookie Betts cheer. There were musical instruments in the stands, and there was a really close game. But again, according to the reports, right after the win, the Dodgers were sitting in the dugout and heard from Mitsuhara, who gave them a heads up that the story would be coming out about his gambling and that he admitted he had a problem to them. Now, obviously, this was what, let's say the game ended at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific time, so 6 a.m. L.A. and San Diego time, roughly. So we're talking about 6:30 in the morning. So 19 and a half hours ago. But we didn't hear about Mitsuhara getting fired by the Dodgers until much later in the day. And that's because there was an about face by not just Mitsuhara, but Ohtani's camp, a spokesman, as well as his attorneys. Whew. By the way, all the details initially that have come out are due to a great piece of reporting and an extensive investigation by Tisha Thompson of ESPN. She deserves a ton of credit. Her story posted just before 3 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon today. So again, we're talking almost 12 hours ago, LA time. He was fired. Mitsuhara was fired by the team on Wednesday afternoon after a total about face in his account to ESPN. Okay, so we have to back up. But the crazy part is, he tells this big, long story to ESPN. He does a sit-down interview and was reportedly made available by Ohtani's camp, right? So he works for the Dodgers. He works for Ohtani. They sent him, presumably to tell his story and set the record straight on Tuesday, before they ever got on the field. He does this extensive sit-down interview with ESPN. Again, with the, not just permission, but with the backing of Ohtani's camp. He goes and does this interview. And then as they're getting ready to go to print with the story, a spokesman then reaches out and says, Ohtani's been the victim of theft. And then Mitsuhara changes his entire story. The details are wild. But again, I feel like I can see a path and a way through this that kind of explains why he would change his story and why all of a sudden the drastic reversal. I hope you've read it. I'm telling you the truth. The first time I read it, I was kind of overwhelmed. I wasn't exactly sure what was happening. But now that I've read multiple accounts and read the story by Tisha Thompson more than once, I feel like I've got a handle on it. But I wasn't going to be able to talk about it until I could understand it. It's far more complicated than Deflategate, I just want you to know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So our phone number is 855-212-4227. If you want to share your reaction, 855-212-4CBS, and then also on our Facebook page. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And yes, there was a baseball game. And yes, there will be another baseball game coming up in 4 hours. In fact, it's the debut of Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Oh, I love saying his name. It's way more interesting than mine. Yoshinobu Yamamoto. You know what's really interesting too? The MLB Network and MLB Twitter accounts have posted nothing about this story, as in nada. And that has sparked some claims that there's a cover-up. And that had it not been for the ESPN reporting that baseball was squashing this. Baseball officials, because they do not want any stink around Ohtani's shine. They want nothing that would possibly diminish his reputation or his popularity. Now, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, although I do have some in my family. I'm not a big one. I could see how baseball would prefer this not go public, especially if they had done their due diligence and in their own investigation had determined that these were not Ohtani's gambling debts. Oh, but I have gotten ahead of myself. But even that's the thing. That there be any question that these debts could be associated with Ohtani would blow this incredible buzz, would blow this incredible high into a bazillion pieces. Showtime, Shohei Ohtani, baseball's surging popularity because of Ohtani, everywhere he goes, not to mention there's a chance there could be trouble because these were illegal gambling debts. So all of this would definitely give baseball a reason to cover it up. Now, I'm not saying that happened. I'm not. I actually don't think that's possible. I don't think the number of people who work for Major League Baseball and the Dodgers and any other entity associated with it could keep it a secret. And there are public records or records of bank transfers. Oh, I say public. There are records that have been accessed in these as part of these investigations by both authorities as well as the media. So I just don't think it could have remained secret anyway. But this is certainly the last thing in the world that baseball wants. That's for damn sure. Okay. So as best Tisha Thompson can tell, there's an investigation going on to this particular bookie. And as part of that investigation into this bookie, his name is Matthew Boyer, or Bowyer. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. Boyer, Matthew Boyer. We'll just say Boyer. He operates out of Southern California. And as part of an investigation into a larger illegal gambling ring, one that didn't start with him, but his name came up in the investigation to a different gambling ring. Gosh, what a tangled web. As part of that, this dude's accounts were reviewed, seized, investigated, and his gambling dealings are under scrutiny. And so as you can imagine, there are federal authorities going along. Wait, what is that? A wire transfer from Shohei Ohtani? It actually said on the wire transfer, Shohei Ohtani, spelled with his legal spelling of his last name, O-T-A-N-I. I don't know why there's an H added. I have no idea. I didn't ask that question. But O-T-A-N-I. And the line item says loan next to it. And so these wire transfer payments were sent from Shohei's account to an associate of this bookie. Those things are confirmed. So ESPN's reviewing the bank information, showing Ohtani's name on two $500,000 payments that were sent last fall. I guess that could also feed into the conspiracy theory, right? Because this goes back to last fall. And so here is this bookie who's receiving these payments. ESPN finds out about it. It's exposed as part of this federal investigation. And as they kind of start to ask questions, Shohei Ohtani's spokesman arranges an interview with Ippei Mitsuhara, his interpreter. And so Mitsuhara sits down with ESPN and tells the story that he had amassed a huge gambling debt that reached $4.5 million. He cited DraftKings as well as NFL, NBA, college football, and international soccer. So the interpreter is racking up gambling debts like nobody's business, though he said he was very careful not to bet on baseball because he's an employee of the Dodgers now, Angels then, and because it's posted in every clubhouse. And he told ESPN he thought the gambling wagers were legal. He did not realize they were illegal. I guess you can believe it or not believe it. I'm not sure that matters at this point. But he swears he thought they were legal. Didn't realize that in California, sports gambling is still illegal. Though it's now been written into law in, what, 40 states? Close to 40 states, but not in California. So he said he thought the bets were legal, and he got in so deep that he owed $4.5 million. So again, Mitsuhara tells ESPN that he went to Ohtani and asked him to pay off this gambling debt. Quote, obviously he wasn't happy about it and said he would help me out to make sure I never do this again. He decided to pay it off for me. Now, to me, that's extremely believable. Extremely believable. If you know Japanese culture, a lot of it has to do with honor and relationship. Ohtani had described Mitsuhara described the relationship as a brotherhood. They did everything together. I mean, everything from looking at scout to eating together to traveling together. They'd been friends going back to Ohtani's debut in this Japanese professional baseball league. And at times, Mitsuhara even ran errands for him, got water for him, making, by the way, between $300,000 and $500,000 per year for the job. And so they were essentially together all the time. I'm sure his new wife loves that. Anyway, I digress. So I can see Ohtani saying, I will pay these off for you. Why? Because his friend could get in trouble. Maybe his friend was being threatened. But $4.5 million, there was no way Mitsuhara was going to be able to pay that off. So Mitsuhara goes on to say, Shohei had zero involvement in betting. I want people to know I did not know this was illegal. I learned my lesson the hard way. I will never do sports betting ever again. And so that was the story ESPN got on Tuesday. We didn't know about it at the time. But that's the story that ESPN was prepared to publish. Again, the lead reporter on this story is Tisha Thompson. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So after Mitsuhara sits down for that conversation, 90 minutes And he goes on, and he gives great detail about his story. As ESPN is about to publish the story on Wednesday, an Ohtani spokesman, so the same one that made Mitsuhara available for the interview, that same spokesman reaches out to ESPN and says, what he told you is not true. How about that? Can you imagine? 90-minute interview, all this writing and reporting, the data that's been gathered, the corroborating of the story, and then they're about to go to print, online, of course, and about to share the story on the air. And the Ohtani spokesman, the same one who said, go talk to Mitsuhara, we'll make him available. That same Ohtani spokesman reaches out to ESPN and says, everything he told you is wrong. The word that's used disavowed Mitsuhara's account and said the lawyers for Shohei Ohtani would come out with a statement. And that's where the headline came from. The headline came from the lawyers who now say that Ohtani is the victim of massive theft. $4.5 million. Even though the wire transfers came directly from his bank account, now somehow he is the victim of massive theft. Here's the statement from the attorney. In the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft, and we are turning the matter over to the authorities. So they go from Ohtani paid off these debts to help out his friend, even though he wasn't happy about it. And the question was asked, too, of Mitsuhara. Why did these come directly from Ohtani's account? Why did Ohtani not just give you the money and you go pay off the bookie? And Mitsuhara's response was, he didn't want me to touch the money. He didn't trust me. Which makes all the sense in the world. If you had a friend who came to you and asked you to pay off his gambling debt and you had the means and you wanted to help him out, but you were ticked at him and you didn't trust him, you wouldn't give him money. If he has a gambling addiction, you wouldn't say, here, take the money, go pay off your bookie. That's ridiculous. Nobody who's got any wisdom at all would do that. And of course, Shohei Ohtani likely involved his people. I mean, I don't know who's in charge of his money, but there's no way that kind of money disappears from somebody's account and no one notices. So honestly, and this is just my opinion. I'll tell you what I think happened. The first account is far more believable than the victim of massive theft and $4.5 million just mysteriously disappear without anyone noticing. Not his financial advisors, not Ohtani himself, not his attorneys. Oh, okay. Since last fall, that money just disappeared and nobody noticed. What do you think? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Oh my gosh, all this. And the Dodgers are about to play game two of their season in Japan. I mean, sorry, in South Korea, but in Japan, because as you can imagine, there aren't two bigger stories going. The Dodgers being in South Korea and Ohtani either getting robbed, blind, or he was the one sending the money to the bookies. 855-212-4227. I'm blown away by this. Just when you think it's going to be an average, routine, run-of-the-mill week in sports. Just when you think there's nothing new under the sun. My gosh. Thanks for joining us. Hope you survived your hump day. I know we went a little long on this segment, but this is... Whoa. This is...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Two pitch, swung out and a ground ball through the hole, left side, a base hit. Altman. Rounding third, coming to the plate, head first slide, he scores! Mookie Betts with an RBI base hit, and it's 4-2 Dodgers. Here's Ohtani with two on and one out. He swings the first pitch, hits it into the left center field gap, that's a base hit. Here's Lux coming around third, he'll score standing. It is 5-2 as Shohei Ohtani comes up with his first run batted in as a Dodger.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Man, that feels like a long time ago now. And they're getting set for game number two of the Seoul series at the Gochuk Sky Dome in Seoul, South Korea. Did you hear the noise behind Ohtani's single, for heaven's sakes? Crazy crowd. And now they're packed into this dome and it's only 17,000 people, but there are noisemakers and musical instruments and cheerleaders and it just a crazy scene. And it was in the eighth inning when a ball went through the glove. Who was it at first base? I forgot.
Jake Cronenworth.
That's right. Jake Cronenworth. Thank you. The ball literally went through his glove. I've not seen that. Well, you don't see it very often. I suppose I've seen it with the Bad News Bears or in softball, but it went right through his glove. And so it was an error, of course, although it wouldn't have been had it not gone through his glove. And the Dodgers are able to build on that and rally past the Padres. But yeah, Ohtani gets his first RBI as a Dodger. And then all hell breaks loose. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As I mentioned, according to reports out of L.A., including our friend Michael Duarte of NBC L.A., Mitsuhara did address the team after their win over the Dodgers. So in South Korea, he's talking to the team and letting them know that this big story is coming out and that he has a gambling problem. At that point, ESPN thought it had the story. They'd had a sit down with Ohtani's interpreter. They got an account of a story that was really in depth in which Mitsuhara had appealed to Ohtani, told him about his gambling problem and all these debts he'd amassed up to $4.5 million. Ohtani agreed to bail him out. This is the story that was told to ESPN on Tuesday. Ohtani agreed to bail him out, and there are a series of wire transfers of at least $4.5 million. And they have Ohtani's name on them, and they say loan on the as the memo line. I know sometimes when I pay or send money electronically, I'll put a little note on it myself to indicate what it's for. But something tells me they weren't going to forget what that was for. Either way, that was the story that was told to ESPN on Tuesday. Wednesday, following the game, as they're getting ready to publish, Ohtani's camp reaches out to ESPN and says, none of it's true. The story he told you is a complete and total lie. Instead, he stole the money from Ohtani, all of it. A massive theft. And then the Dodgers, who are aware of it, have no real statement at this point, only that they're aware of it. What else are they going to say? They fire Mitsuhara. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, I'm not telling you I have any inside information, not at this point. I've just done a bunch of reading. But knowing human nature, certainly understanding how bad this could look for Ohtani, if they somehow can't prove, if Ohtani's camp, his attorneys, acknowledge that Ohtani is the one who paid the bookie, number one, that could, I mean, it's illegal, even if it's not for his debts. It's still illegal to give that money to this bookie. Number two, what if the account of Mitsuhara saying that Ohtani has never gambled, Ohtani saying I've never gambled, what if that's not enough? What if there are, I don't know, other ways that this could be interpreted? Like somehow the interpreter, is covering for Ohtani. And so I can imagine, and Marco Belletti's here in studio, Ohtani's camp freaked the heck out. His attorneys, anybody around him realizing that this could very easily turn sour on Shohei Ohtani and ruin his career. Mm-hmm. Because it's a federal investigation into this bookie, right? And even though neither Ohtani nor Mitsuhara has been charged or has been questioned by federal authorities at this point, it's a really extensive investigation. And if Ohtani's name is on the illegal activity, his career is in jeopardy.
Yeah, there's more to this story. There's definitely some legs here. There's a lot of different things that opens up. Yes, it could just be that the Ohtani camp, like you said, is scared, and that's why things changed. There could also be that they realized after, I don't know, stepping back for a second, after the, 90 minutes that ESPN mm-hmm. sat down and did this story yeah. that everybody was okay with, and then all of a sudden it changed afterwards, that they realized, oh man, this really doesn't look good. And maybe the interpreter is just the fall guy. We don't know. We don't know. There's a lot to this story, I feel like, that we don't know yet. I feel like there's so many different legs that you hope that it's just as simple as everything is there, but I feel like there's a lot more that has to come out from this.
I feel like if they sat him down for 90 minutes and he told this entire story with the, I mean, he was not only doing it with the approval of the Ohtani camp, they're the one that set it up.
Right.
They're the one that set up the interview.
And then it changed afterwards.
Right, like 24 hours later. Again, because I feel like they realize how bad this looks, right? It looks so terrible for Ohtani. But you're saying you think that they could be the whole thing could be a cover-up for him gambling?
Yeah.
Right. And I understand there's a lot of people that are going to jump to that. I can't do that.
We don't know, but my reading the tea leaves or reading the story, yeah, that's the first thing that I thought of.
The first thing? Yeah. You wouldn't just take the interpreter for his word initially?
Well, his word initially was, you know,
that it's his debt.
Yeah, and then everything changed 24 hours later, not even, basically of trying to figure out from the camp didn't know that this interview was going to go sour until a day later. Like, it's just, that it was going to change. It was going to seem odd for the Ohtani camp. They were okay with it before, but now they've realized that this doesn't look good for him. Like, it just seems like that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The PR aspect of this, you wanted to get out in front of it, and then you realize a day later it doesn't make sense. That to me is just strange.
I don't know if they said it doesn't make sense. They just obviously decided that there's got to be some other way to try to get our client out from underneath suspicion.
Again, maybe that's the case, and maybe that is what it is. But I do feel like when you say human nature, it's weird to me. And it's okay if you're gambling or whatever. I mean, obviously, you got to do it legally. This was illegally, so that's an issue in and of itself. And I don't know what the baseball protocol is for their gambling. I don't know.
Oh, well, baseball is you can place legal bets. You cannot bet on baseball.
Right. And supposedly none of this was bet on baseball. So that aspect of it, like, I don't want to get into it because I don't really know. And I don't know exactly all that stuff. But it seems like that would be fine anyway as if this was legal. To me, it just feels like when you start screaming and everybody's screaming it, Ohtani doesn't gamble. Ohtani doesn't get, like, just, I don't know. To me, there's too much of that. There's too much noise of I'm screaming, I don't gamble. It's almost kind of like, you guys in 2 days had a few different stories, and the only thing that now you're constantly talking about is he doesn't gamble. I feel like they're a little concerned with Ohtani and his reputation, especially when you go by a guy that was afraid to let you know his dog's name. I think he's way too private and realized that once they took a step back, this doesn't look good at all. Let's just sweep it under the rug. I could be wrong, but that was the tea leaves.
Sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, let's put it on the interpreter. Once it's done with the interpreter, it's over.
Oh, well, not really. I mean, Ohtani is still a victim of massive theft, quote unquote.
Yeah, that's the newer story that came out. The first one was that he was going to cover for it, he was going to pay for it.
Right.
And now
Which I find believable, because that's human nature. I mean, if I had the means to, wait a minute. If I had the means, and this was someone that I called a brother, right? He's called him a brother before. Mm-hmm. If this was my brother who comes to me and says, I screwed up, AIM. Mm-hmm. I'm in deep. Mm-hmm. I swear to you, I'll never do this again. Mm-hmm. Now, I would hope that would be the case. Mm-hmm. Would I be blown away? Would I be enraged? Would I be really upset? All of those things.
Right.
But if I had the means and I could bail him out 100%. So he's not in $4.5 million of debt, I would do it.
Right.
And I probably wouldn't think at the time, all the way through it. First of all, Ohtani's in his 20s, right? Like, we forget. He's in his 20s. And I know that, like, he has a lot of advisors around him. But he's also in his 20s with access to a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So if it were me and I could bail my brother out of debt immediately, mm-hmm. I would have done it.
Right.
And then I would have dealt with the repercussions after the fact.
Right.
So in my mind, that seems much more plausible than Ohtani lost $4.5 million. First of all, when the hell does he have time? But Ohtani lost $4.5 million of gambling and now is such a terrible dude that he's going to make his interpreter play the fall guy.
That does seem plausible that he would have bailed him out until a day later that story changed and all of a sudden stole $4.5 million from me. I was okay, including an interview, sitting down and explaining that, yes, I have a gambling problem and Ohtani bailed me out. Everybody was on board. And then the next day, he stole from me. I didn't give him the money. He stole
it. Right, but I feel like that's got to be his advisors. Right, Ohtani hasn't said this guy stole from me. His advisors and his attorneys are saying, holy, you know what? This could come back on our client, and he could get bounced out of baseball. And you know what it's like when attorneys and people get involved. Maybe Ohtani never asked them. This is my money. I'm going to bail my friend out, and then they find out and think, "Holy mother of God, our client could have just ruined his entire career."
I get it, but I would still feel like, and again, PR and attorneys should know better that the truth would actually be better than making up a lie. Then
agree, but you know that's not always the case.
Well, doesn't sound good when you reverse and pivot.
I agree with you 100%.
When you do 180, all of a sudden, I don't believe anything you said.
All right.
Because once you come up one story and then the next day you have a different story, now automatically I assume everything is a lie.
I agree that part I don't assume. I agree that they're trying to do damage control now. And so their really ridiculous attempt to do it is to all of a sudden retract the entire story.
Which is what I'm saying. That's why I'm looking for where's the truth? Because something is wrong. There, you can't have both stories being right, so something is wrong, and you knew both of them. It's not like the first thing came out was just the interpreter, and then the camp heard about it and was like, whoa, we have nothing to do with this. They knew. They set it up.
The fact is, before he retracted his story, he went to the Dodgers and told them the account that he told ESPN, the interpreter.
Right.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. Like, that to me feels like the authentic story, and now they're trying to do the damage control.
And
but
that
obviously,
may be the
we
case.
Have no idea.
And that may be the case, and that's why it made me step back. If it's as simple as Ohtani is helping out his friend, and now they're afraid of what the implications are, I would say you did a terrible job of making a story that was not good worse. But I now, because of the pivot, made me concerned that, you know what? Maybe Ohtani and his interpreter, because they're so close, because they're friends, they figured out a way to help out Ohtani with his issue.
By
and then they realized
putting his name on the line on him? Like, they came directly from his bank account. Nobody's that stupid.
I think that's when they figured out that they messed up. Because, again, the idea that they didn't change the name on the account because it would be good for business in an illegal ring, like, that doesn't make sense. That means that you screwed up somewhere along the way.
I just don't think if you are trying to hide your gambling addiction, you put your money, your name, you pay. Ohtani could open up an account somewhere else in someone else's name. And if he was really devious and trying to hide
when
this.
When you think ahead, I think he got caught with his pants down.
I mean, come on. Everybody. All right. Well, see, I think that's sad. I think that you would automatically jump to he must be illegal gambling instead of taking it at face value.
It's not automatic.
We have to go.
Face value is where I have a problem. But again, I could be wrong. We're all trying to figure out what the story is. The only thing I think we could all say is we need more. There's definitely more info that's got to come to all of us.
On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, by the way. The call's there on the Dodgers Radio Network from where we started this segment with baseball. But it's not about baseball right now.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I think the bigger picture is significant because you've got such a generational talent that is on your ball club in a big market in Los Angeles. There's a lot more eyeballs on the Dodgers and on Major League Baseball.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Roberts, he is the one who now sits in the hot seat along with a bunch of Ohtani's teammates too, because there are no ways that they can escape these questions. And I even asked producer Jay to see, have any of the Dodgers or Dave Roberts spoken in advance of what is game number 2 in just over 3 hours? So far, haven't seen anything like that, though we're keeping our eyes out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Tim finds me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and says, I have way too much faith in humanity to think that rich people will just pay for other people's millions of dollars of debt. But see, I think there's a difference between American and Japanese culture. And Japanese culture is so much about honor. It's a little bit different when it comes to relationships. And again, I just told you, and I'm not rich, but if this was my brother or a close friend of mine who came to me and said, I've done a ridiculous thing, I'm an idiot, I'm so stupid, would I be enraged? Would I be so ticked off? Would I want to like kill him if it was my brother? Yes. But would I pay off his debt if I could? Absolutely. So I don't think it's about rich people. I think it's about their relationship. Giovanna is in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, is it my time? Yeah, I didn't intend on calling until football season, but Ohtani's behalf, why would a man with a contract of close to $1 billion be dealing with stupid stuff when he has to focus on his season, a baseball season? And you have pretty much cleared it up for me. You know, I'm sure he wishes he could speak English a whole lot better so he could say something on his own behalf, but I understand. So you have pretty much said it. Ohtani didn't do this, and the man that did it, okay? Mm-hmm. So
I mean, I agree with you. I just think if you are trying to hide a gambling problem, and $4.5 million, that's a problem, right? That's an addiction. If you're trying to hide it, you're not paying the debts out of your own bank account.
No. And it reminds me of, I mean, if my brother did something stupid like that, I'm not even thinking about the repercussions of how it's going to look to the public.
Right.
You know?
Agreed.
I'm just going to say, okay, take this. And no, I'm not going to give you $4 million. Let me go on and take this through the proper channels to make sure the proper people get it.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'm with you.
So you have already said it for me, Amy. Thank you for your comments regarding Ohtani. You know,
I appreciate that. Thank you, Giovanna. Good to know that there's someone else out there who sees it like I do. And I'm not saying I can't be wrong. Of course I could be wrong. Absolutely. Shohei Ohtani could be a degenerate gambler and thought it was a good idea to pay off his debts with his own bank account. But that seems implausible to me. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly! parts.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.